Appreciate you tuning in. Justin Akery, Pat Bradley, who is visiting with some folks and will join us again. Matty T, hold it down back in the Fury Electric studio. I want to thank Pat Narduzzi, the defending Broyles Award winner, who was back here. I guess you don't really get to defend your honor. It's one of those things, but certainly an honor he received last year, and deservedly so. The defensive coordinator at Michigan State University, who is back here, as they always do. They bring back the previous year's winner, and he is back with us today. The nominees,
good guy, huh?
Yeah, super good guy.
Man.
Nominees today, Lane Kiffin is going to join us here in moments, we think.
You just call him Kiff? I like that.
Lane Kiffin. I was just going to go with last names. Dave Steckel, who's the defensive coordinator from Missouri. Tom Herman from Ohio State, who I had a chance to visit with today. He served some time at my alma mater before going over to Ohio State. Scott Frost from Oregon and Doug Meacham, the TCU co-offensive coordinator, who we found out today played for Pat Jones. So kind of a cool deal. Coach Herman was saying today, he was telling Tommy and those guys that, I don't know if you heard this on the way over, that he was laying in bed on a game day and in Ames, and he got a call from Coach Meyer. And he said, get the blank out of here.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it's actually Urban Meyer. And he said, oh, God. He said, I think I screwed this up. So he got hired as the OC right after that. So apparently it didn't set him off too badly. So that's good news. Some Keith Lee Service coming live fan feedback. As I mentioned, we will be visiting with some of the coaches here coming up in just a second. Robert at the Little Rock Air Force Base. I'd like to give a huge, sweaty, crusty, stinky jockstrap to the Green Bay Packers and their defense. This week started the fantasy football playoffs. I was riding an 8-game winning streak, which is hard to do in a 12-man league. I was up to 150.86 going into last night's game. He had Ryan and Jones, and need I say more, I lost 166.54 to 150.86, so the Packers cost me $600. Thanks for nothing, Packers. I'd like to repeat what is on Justin's dad's license plate to Justin Hook'em Horns. Thank you very much, Robert. I appreciate you. Boy, as good as the offensive performance was from the Packers last night, their defense was that bad. Very disappointing.
Oh, the Pack?
Yeah, but they won, so I guess, you know what, by any means necessary. It's
Justin,
all good.
They scored 31 points in the first half. I think it's going to be a little letdown. And Matty Ice was going to put it together. Can't keep him down.
Who do you love more, Matty Ice
or Tom Brady? I don't know. It goes like this for me. It goes, you got Jesus, you got Moses, Tom Brady, then Lane Kiffin. How
okay.
about that? Then
all
Lane
right.
Kiffin. You we'll make see. The top four, Coach.
Coach, how are you?
Good. I don't know how to do this anymore. I'm not allowed to talk to the media anymore with Coach Saban's rules. So
we're not media.
You guys must have known somebody.
So is this the first interview you've done since January?
This would be the first interview I've done since January. Yes.
Well,
no. That one time a year. After spring, I think we had one.
Okay. Yes. Well, we're honored to have you for a number of reasons. Congratulations on being nominated for the Broyles Award.
I appreciate that. It's really special, really unique to be able to be here. And just to have breakfast with Coach Broyles this morning was amazing. I said, he's 90 years old. I said, he remembers things better than 50 years ago than I do from 50 minutes ago. He's really special, and I'd heard so much about him from my dad,
yeah.
who thought so much of him when he was here as an assistant coach with Coach Broyles. So,
how old were
really
you
neat.
When you were here?
I think I was 2 years old. I think I was told he
so
came in 77. Yeah, I don't remember much, no.
So I saw in your bio that you were born in Lincoln. Was your dad coaching in Nebraska before you guys came here?
He was, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was born there, and this was our next stop with Coach Holtz here at Arkansas.
So congratulations to you and to some of your players, and we had the All-SEC team come out, and Amari Cooper appropriately so, A, invited to the Heisman ceremony, as he should have been, and also named the Offensive Player of the Year. Tell me what it's been like coaching him this year.
Well, he's been amazing. I didn't know that. So
yeah. Hey, congratulations. There you go.
Yeah. He's been amazing to work with. So dedicated to the game. Just always wants to get better. Always wanting to watch film. Stay. You know, he's the one guy Friday night always after our meetings. He's still there. Everybody goes to snack. You know, so it's 10 o'clock at night, and he's in there just watching one last time, watching the DBs he's going to go against, and. Just so great for our young kids to be around and to learn from him. And, I don't have to worry about him coming back next year.
Yeah.
And help. I think that's pretty much done.
Yeah, I think probably so. Blake Sims also, you guys did a great job with him. And, I mean, certainly he's had his ups and downs. I mean, and mostly ups, obviously. He was named second team All-SEC, if you haven't heard yet either. Not that that's overly important. I know you guys are focused on your playoff game here coming up. But Talk to me about him, and I guess there was a point where at least the folks in the media and the people that were doing the game thought that maybe you guys would make a coaching change in the Iron Bowl. You guys stayed, or a quarterback change, rather.
Might have been a coaching change after that third interception. The headset sounded like there was going to be a coaching change.
I know you weren't telling him to do that, so we won't blame you for that. But you guys, and I guess we saw Coker warming up on the sideline. Was there ever any consideration of that? And certainly it worked out well that you stuck with him.
Well, no, after that, Coker warmed up, and then he went 17-22 for four touchdowns after that point. So yeah, we made a joke in the quarterback room. We got it all figured out. Blake screws up, no matter what, just start warming up Coker. We'll be good.
That's funny. When you were hired by Alabama, a lot of us were sort of, I guess, surprised because of Coach Saban's traditional approach offensively. I guess you came in initially as a consultant. Can you talk about the relationship and how you ended up on staff?
Well, it wasn't a consultant. He just, it was after their Auburn loss, so they had like a month to prepare for the Sugar Bowl. And so he brought me in there for 8 days and just said, hey, you know, just kind of hang out and be around and see what you think. It wasn't about anything about being employed there. Just kind of, that's how he is. You know, everybody's like, what the heck is Lane Kiffin going to be able to say to Nick Saban? And I was thinking the same thing. But that just shows you how he is. He's always just wanting to get better. And so each night we kind of meet for 10 minutes and just kind of say, what, I saw this at practice or this in the film study or, you know, whatever it was, this from players. And so it was really neat that he allowed me to do that. And then whatever, a couple weeks later, a job became available and brought me out there for a formal interview. And it's been great. I couldn't be more appreciative to him for doing that. It wasn't easy for him to do. He took a lot of criticism, a lot of heat for it. And so I'm really proud that it worked out for him especially because he did kind of get, he took a lot of heat for that.
Had you guys had a relationship before?
Just really at SEC league meetings when I was head coach at Tennessee, and then we played him that year down here. And so I had about a year ago after our bad year at USC, just kind of wanted to talk to somebody, you know, about some different things. And so actually kind of snuck into Tuscaloosa with nobody knowing and spent 3 hours with him at his house one night. And just had a list of questions for things, management, player, coaches, all the stuff that you want to. People would pay millions probably for that, for that 3 hours with him. But it was really neat. And then here we are now.
Well, it's certainly been a mutually beneficial relationship. What have you learned this year as an assistant? Not mean maybe having to answer all the questions, literally, but also not having to maybe worry about the entire product, but just the offense. Have you learned anything going through the process of sort of taking a step, I guess, down as far as responsibility goes?
Yeah, it's been really, you know, I don't know, I guess it's been 7 years since I had done that. And it's been refreshing to be able to just focus on the ball side and the X's and O's and the player development, player communication. And I guess I didn't realize how much, as the head coach, you cannot do that if you run the side of the ball. Even Coach Saban doesn't call the defense. You know, Coach Smart calls the defense. So there was so much time that I put into that. You know, I think one of the million things I failed at was spending more time in player development, even in the game, because as a head coach, you can't do what I do now. I sit with Blake Sims and Amari Cooper the entire game when the defense or special teams is out there. And we don't get up until we have the ball, so we're going over everything, adjustments, things we can do. So it's been fun to be able to do that again, and then also to learn from Coach Saban. And he's just unbelievable. People have this perception of who he is and that he's all football and everything. This guy gives more to a university than I could ever imagine anybody doing. I mean, this guy, we are Friday before the Iron Bowl or something, and he's meeting with, like, women's tennis recruits, you know, to help out the tennis program or something. And looking at his schedule going, this is amazing. But he is nonstop every day about the University of Alabama.
You've taken more than your share probably of hits in the media as well. How much, you're talking about Coach Saban's, his actual way of being versus the perception. How close do you think the perception is of you versus what you're really like?
Well, I used to get that a lot, and my answer was, I'm not really worried about perception if I've never met somebody or I've never been around them, because I can't control that.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and read some article that some guy writes on the other side of the country who's never met me, because what good does that do to worry about that?
Does it amuse you at all? I mean, people have been so caught up in Lane Kiffin for the last few years. It's fun. It's almost amusing, I would think.
Well, they told me, they were joking, a guy at ESPN said one time that they said, hey, it don't matter what it is. We're just told to make sure your name's in it. Because if it's in it, it's going to get enough hits, it's going to get read, whether it's true or not. So, you know, I think that the people, whether it's coaches or players or even media that was around every day at places that I've been, I think usually write and have a different stance on me, and that's really all I can control.
What about the upcoming game? That's certainly something you'll have a hand in controlling. What about the matchup in the first round of the playoffs here?
Yeah, our players are very excited about it. So are we. You know, obviously just to be in it, you know, for, you know, after we lose to Ole Miss, you know, and then come down here and barely beat Arkansas, I don't know that a lot of people thought we'd be in this position, especially as the number one seed. So it's really neat to be there and just neat to be part of something that's never been done before. You know, as Coach Saban said maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago, you know, he told the team, you know, people always ask him, what drives you? What about this year? He said, I want to see if we can do it. Can we do this? Can we do this thing, you know, where we're at, and can we keep improving? And so we've been able to do that. So I'm just excited about being part of something that there's never been before.
Have you had a chance to look at the matchup with Ohio State yet?
Just a little bit. On a plane over, my computer, I was trying to figure out how to know all that stuff, trying to figure out how to download the stuff from back home.
Sure.
Just a little bit. I watched the first series of a couple games, and obviously they're very talented, extremely well coached, and very physical, you know, very physical defense that's going to give us a lot of problems.
Coach, I just want to know how you figure out who to give the ball to with that stable of running backs you have back there.
Yeah, it's pretty special. An amazing thing is the most unique of all of them, Kenyon Drake, was injured in that Ole Miss game and was out for the year. Yeah. He was kind of the Reggie Bush factor that we had first play of the Florida game, you know, threw him as a wide receiver and stuff. So the other guys are phenomenal running backs but really don't do the other stuff that Kenyon did. So it'll be exciting to get him back next year. And I shouldn't do it, but I always think sometimes, well, imagine if we still had him, you know, just because he's such a mismatch issue.
Yeah.
You have, you've coached in the NFL and in the college ranks, obviously, and we've been talking, Jim Harbaugh's name keeps coming up in connection with the Michigan job or other jobs potentially if he ends up leaving San Francisco. And people will say, well, what would be the appeal of going back to college? For a guy who's been in the NFL, what's the appeal of going back to college?
Well, I think everybody's different. You know, I love college because of the player relationships, the development, and that you have them, and they're not, all of a sudden you're not a development guy, he gets traded, you know, free agency. I always like the college that you pick your team. In the NFL, a lot of times you're not picking your team.
Mm-hmm.
The general manager is picking your team, and you got to wait. You got to wait 32 picks to pick again. So college, if you're at a big-time place, you don't have to do that. You know, you can go possibly sign the best two running backs or the best two offensive tackles in the country. So
you're getting that first pick almost every year if you want it, right? A couple of
them. Well, yeah, we used to say, I mean, if you're getting, you know, whatever, you know, we'd be at SC or just like Alabama, and we may sign seven of the top 32 players. So imagine if you had seven first-round picks in the NFL, you know. So
that wouldn't really be fair, although seeing what happened in Oakland since you left too, I mean, it's like I'm not sure if that would be enough. That poor organization, I don't know if they're ever going to get it figured out.
Yeah, it's been a tough few years there, and you know, I know there's a lot of guys still working hard there, and obviously losing is not fun for anybody. So we don't really against anybody. We've been on the other side.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, we got to let you go. Jeff's giving us that look, and I don't want to get loud. But hey, congratulations on a great season. Good luck. You guys are carrying certainly the SEC banner and the Alabama banner, and you got a lot up ahead here. But we appreciate you joining us today, and good luck. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you on the podium today.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Coach.
All right, have a good one.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, Lane Kiffin. Very good.